Mac Holmes pre-game interview.
Talk about the Cats, feet under the desk for 3.5 months or so now. Hock, what's been sort of the challenges? And I suspect the word COVID's probably bobbed up quite a bit as you work your way through.
Look, it has now that you're staring into games, Tom. I think that you know, as soon as the games are on and in front of you, it narrows your focus pretty quickly. You know, it's fair to say that the initial focus coming into the role was to just change things up within the club itself, particularly the two football programs. And the immediate one was the AFLW program, which we're here to celebrate tonight, our round two game against Carlton. We made 10 list changes, and there was also 10 off-field changes for our staff goes. And then once we got that settled, it was then on to the men's program, and we've made nine list changes there and 15 staff changes as well. And that's, you know, right across the whole combination of things. So, yeah, just really shaking the place up and letting them know that you know, we're going to stay at the forefront of football in the AFL.
The men's program so successful, but the women's program, I would use the word probably inconsistent to describe the start to the AFLW club's history. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, look, I think initially, Tom, we were really strong, and there's always that that initial appetite and commitment to it, and over time it sort of started to wane. What I found working my former role at the AFL was that a lot of the clubs really had a bolt on with the AFLW program, to their traditional men's program. And what we've tried to do here is actually make sure it's fully integrated. And we've got back to that. We've worked with the players on that during their off-season. You know, we've rebranded the group with Shears Football. And, the group are really embracing that. And I think they've made a really good contribution. They've made a strong start to the season with a pretty, you know, pretty good performance against North Melbourne. We won one game last year. So, I think we're really not putting a ceiling on where we can go this year. But it's certainly an opportunity to win a game tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Steve, Sarah Black here. I was just curious, Sarah, when you said, you know, the integration. Hey, how are you going? The integration with the men's program. Obviously, they run at different times with the girls, generally coming in the afternoon and stuff. What does that actually look like?
Yeah, I think the integration piece, Sarah, is more about making sure that what the men have access to, the women's program, should have the same level as well. I think that's, you know, that's part of the integration piece. Making sure that, you know, whatever you're doing as far as promoting the men's, you're doing equivalent for the women's. And where you can, with COVID, it's much harder to do. There is naturally just a segregation due to COVID protocols. But where you can, you know, make sure that you're actually supporting both programs. And that's, I believe it's from the board, you know, right through. It's something that I've been really strong on. I was strong on at the AFL. I think a lot of people have been slow to get to AFLW. And so, you know, with a new person coming in like myself and the background I have from the AFL and understanding AFLW, it was really important to, you know, get people on board here and make sure the players and the program support at the level, you know, they should be.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And, you know, early days it is, but the form so far has been pretty promising across the practice match and then just going down to North. Are you happy with what you're seeing out on the field?
Yeah, certainly. I think, Sarah, and you'd understand this better than most because, you know, you make a really strong contribution to AFLW and you understand it. You know, the list, you know, we made a lot of changes. There's obviously, you know, 7 players that debuted last week. They were, you know, with that amount of, you know, list turnover and so many new players debuting, I thought they were really competitive, and they were competitive right throughout the game. They probably just needed to, you know, just take a little bit more time in front of goal a couple of times where they had opportunities to score, you know, some running goals and just panicked a little. And most of that is just not playing enough football together. So there's plenty of upside. We were wrapped with how fit they were. You know, they were number one for kicking the ball long last week, so it's a real change from where we've been previously, where we were certainly one of the shorter kicking teams.
For Harmac Holmes, speaking with Geelong CEO Steve Hocking on K-Rock Football. Here's Mark Neild.
Steve, with relation to the AFLW program, you've mentioned the changes, and that's a lot of change to have. Often, and we chatted about it just before, supporters get really interested in when change comes. Is there a timeline to progress, and what does progress look like? So you've mentioned yourself just then about the long kicking, and obviously just from outside last week, we've already discussed, there seemed to be a massive focus on the contest. So are you able to give the supporters that are listening a bit of an update as to what perhaps progress looks like for the AFLW program?
Yeah, so mate, look, we are looking to just be competitive in all games this year. I think one of the things that all clubs are going to find is, you know, we've got five players that have gone into the AFL health and safety protocols for this round. And you know, there's some really high-end talent within that group that's been captured within that, and that will be ongoing. So I think you've got a list of 30 players, and we're going to see this with the men's as well. You're going to have to use a lot of your list. And so what they've been really good at, the sessions that the new coach, Daniel Lowther, has set up, have been much more contested work, so in close work. A lot of people sort of refer to it phone box work. You would understand that, Mark. So a lot of that type, and really getting those younger players up to speed on that as quickly as possible, and then probably less time on the match sim. One of the challenges with match sim, if you do that for too long and too often, you've actually got a range of players that don't touch the ball within that. You know, you could have some players that are sitting in certain parts of match sim that touch the ball once or twice in a whole session. So what they've done is they've actually had a lot more close in and a lot more ball drills and contested drills. So you're actually then improving, developing your players and that phone box mentality. And then at the back end, they're then expanding it out to full ground drills. And so, yeah, a lot of development placed on it. And that's sort of a focus that Dan Mather has led.
Thanks, Steve. That really detailed answer, and I'm sure that any Geelong supporter listening to that they understand what progress looks like. Thank you. Hey, again, you mentioned there about using nearly every player on your list at some stage for all clubs. I presume that's going to go with a coaching group too, but it might be a little bit, I suppose, maybe more complex given the coaching group's new. St Kilda played today, and I believe that their head coach, Nick Del Santo, had to sit out again because of the COVID protocols or the health and safety protocols. Is that something that Dan and his group are prepared for?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I've seen this firsthand work at the AFL. You know, you've got to, my former role, I made sure across that 2 years that if I was unavailable, you always had others step up, and you can't just expect them to do that on the day. You've actually got to have them shadowing you. You've got to give them an opportunity when there isn't, when potentially you're not taken out of action, and they can actually just shadow you. And at times, I found myself having to get out of the way and allowing them to step up. So what we're trying to do is make sure across our women's program and our men's program that's actually how we integrate our staff, because to your point, you never know who's going to go down. It's the random nature of it all, and the world that we're living in, that uncertainty. Where you can, you try and put certainty back into the system so that the emotion doesn't get in the way of good decision-making, and that's critical in football.
Hock, a few club things I just want to ask you about. The training facility at the southern end of the ground where the senior citizens sit at the moment was a plan revealed at the AGM prior to Christmas. Do you have any advance on that 3 weeks after revealing your plans on where that sits, or is it something that with the Christmas New Year break probably hasn't advanced beyond what you revealed that night?
No, just the reveal mainly, Tom. Look, I think the really important thing to mention here is we're actually, I think as a club, we've got an opportunity to branch out and increase our facility use. And so what we're going to need, you know, you've seen all the BBL games here. You've seen cricket and also soccer being played here and some rugby as well. You know, part of having this upgrade to the stadium means that you give up some of the the riots that you've had around training, and the trust here have been fantastic. We're working closely with them. We're looking to... I look at AFL Barwon, and I also look at the Geelong Falcons. When I left here 4 or 5 years ago, we had a couple of programs, a couple of elite programs. We had the women's program and the men's program, AFL and AFLW. And now we've got VFLW and also VFL as well. So we've got 4 programs that we need to make sure that we can support from a training point of view. And this pre-season period is critical, as Mark would be aware of. You need to make sure that you've got a solid program available and good facilities to support that. Now, my mind goes straight to the broader region. And I think as a Geelong region, we've got a great opportunity to do even more in the community and move just beyond the Deakin DCCC centre that we've got. We do a lot of great work with Cybercats and a whole host of other programs. We've got roughly about a dozen programs that we do community-wise. But I actually think we've got an opportunity facilities-wise to bring AFL Barwon and their headquarters and also the Geelong Falcons, who have females as part of that program now, and coming together and actually share the knowledge and create a real talent pathway. We're in a unique position here in Geelong, and I think that we've got a great opportunity to capture that and actually explore it even beyond where we currently are, where we've got this magnificent stadium, but we've got all of these talented people across the region. Not only on-field, most people go to on-field and think, you're talking about that. I'm talking about off-field. I'm talking about doctors, physios, future coaches, trainers, a whole range of analysts who can be working in the Falcons, working in AFL Barwon clubs, in the GFL and Bellarine Football League and GDFL, and they've got a pathway through to AFLW or AFL, both on-field or off-field. And we would look to partner with those groups to increase our facility footprint.
We look forward to that unfolding, Hock. Just back on the AFLW program, Demby Taylor and Millie Brown were both took a break from footy this year. Are the club in touch, constant sort of touch with those guys about what they're thinking, how they're feeling? Will we see them in VFLW? Can you give us an update on where those two sit, or is that a Brett Johnson area?
No. Look, it's I think this is something that the AFL... competition does really, really well now. There's Dr. Kate Hall at the AFL that leads a lot of this work, and Dr. Ranjit Menon, and you've just got great support from clubs. The education level is better than it's ever been. Those two players, Millie and Debbie, they're actually being supported. They're really close to the playing group. They've got really strong friendships here. We've just given them space. We support, where required, as their needs come to the fore, and they'll have that space, and they'll make a decision at the appropriate time as to whether they come back into football, and hopefully they do. But if they choose not to, that's okay as well. We'll support them, whatever decision they make.
Yep. Reports during the week in Ireland that Oisin Mullen was weighing up whether to come to Australia. Do you have an update for us, Hock, on the Irish rookie?
Look, he's been much talked about, hasn't he, Tom? I think that there's no doubt the Irish are doing everything they possibly can to retain that level of talent, which is quite understandable. Now, look, he tested positive just as he's about to get on a plane to come across here. So, hence, there was no point in him getting on the plane. So he's back there at the moment, and I'm sure they're working really, really hard behind the scenes to retain him. But We're obviously excited that we've got him available to us, so we'll just keep working through it.
Okay, so you expect to see him here in 2022?
Yes, we do, yeah. And I think there's a lot of Geelong supporters who are pretty excited about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, last one. Chris Scott's re-signing has been much talked about. I believe it's all but a formality, or just the formalities need to be gone through now. Can you give us an update on whether those formalities have taken place or are close, Hock?
Yeah, they're very close, Tom. There's just a couple of loose ends to tie off. The board were committed to him, the former CEO, likewise. I've obviously come into the role, and I've been fortunate to see across the competition who the top coaches are. He's in the top 3 or 4 of them. has a really strong record here. We've clearly made some change around him. That's deliberate to support him and also to challenge him as well. And we think he's a really good coach, and we'll continue to work with him moving forward.
Yeah. Fantastic. Hock, we really appreciate you taking the time ahead of tonight's clash to have a chat with us. Always good to talk footy with you, and look forward to talking to you throughout season 2022, both AFLW and AFL.
No, thanks a lot. And look, thanks very much to K-Rock too for supporting tonight's game and you know, all that you're doing there. It's really appreciated, Tom. So thank you. And go Cats AFLW.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Hock. Good to talk. Steve Hocking joining us. Thanks to Harmac Holmes.
The Harmac Holmes pre-game interview.